Hello everyone, I'm Samir Prince and this is Path of the Pros, a series of video sessions where we sit down with some of the most talented and successful execs in sports entertainment, learning about how they've got to where they are and what it takes to become a pro in their field. Very excited today to be sat with Fred Mangione, one of New York's finest and best doing what he does. Fred, thanks for joining us.
No, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. So, kicking off with a question I always like to kick these things off with, Fred. How did you first get into sports? Take us back to the start.
Well, I've been in the industry now for over 25, probably in 28 years right now. Back in my time when you wanted to break in, it was all about tickets, tickets, tickets. And not a lot has changed. So the revenue generation is the most important thing for any club, any agency, any entity, but I started out by selling tickets in minor league sports, minor league hockey, arena football, and just kind of worked my way up. Didn't do an internship, didn't go to grad school. It was kind of pounded the pavement, back then, and I don't want to age myself too much. There wasn't LinkedIn, there was barely email. So there was a lot of snail mail and rejection letters and trying to be cute by sending the Yankees, sending George Steinbrenner a baseball with my, resume on it. And I thought I was being, unique. But, probably 3 days later, I had a rejection letter. But it was just getting creative and really just the typical starting at the bottom. I was going to get in to, I wanted to get into the, to be a stockbroker or a pharmaceutical rep, after I was having trouble breaking in. And those were the two jobs where you can make 100 grand if you were pretty good at it. So, but a friend called me and said the Meadowlands was looking for someone to sell minor league roller hockey tickets at $5 an hour and 10% commission. I was like, you know what? Let's give it a whirl. And like I said, just about 28 years later and multiple entities and different positions, here I am. So.
Nice. Sounds like an interesting time anyway. Yeah. Either, Wall Street stocks trading or sports and getting into sales, which a lot of the execs that I speak to, Fred, as I'm sure you know, start off, in that kind of ticket sales or some sort of sales environment in sports. How did you go from that to working with FIFA, obviously, one of the kind of world leaders, I guess, in sports, working on the World Cup in 1999, Giant Stadium, how did that come about? And I guess how was that experience for you?
Yeah, look, that was probably I joke around all the times. I've done some great things in my career and worked for some great brands, opening up Barclays Center, having the ability to work at the New York Jets, rebranding like their uniforms, just doing some really great things. But I always look back and say my time at FIFA probably is where I grew the most. My time kind of doing minor league stuff, I just felt like I literally did my time in the minors for 6 years working on minor league sports. Really got in the trenches, learned a lot about the business, but I had an opportunity to run the sales and marketing venue at Giant Stadium, your point, for Women's World Cup. It was a 2.5 year assignment. And, women's sport was not what it is today. So when you look at the great athletes of Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy and Brandi Chastain, they put the sport on the map with that tournament. And for me, my next thing was going from the minor leagues to a big event, and there's nothing bigger than the World Cup, and there's nothing bigger than FIFA. And I remember getting the job and being told, because the first games were here in New York at Giant Stadium, the event, it was never in the States before, and the woman who hired me said, if Giant Stadium isn't a success, this tournament, that is, could have some issues. And thankfully, with a good staff, unique marketing and a different way to build up the event, the games were off the charts, and they were one of the most highest attended events ever at Giant Stadium. And one thing I've been very proud of, and from there the tournament took off. But it was an amazing product. They were amazing athletes. They were amazing females. And as I always say, if you got a good product, the beer is always a little colder and the popcorn's always a little bit hotter. So it makes your life a little bit easier when you work for a good product. And I was lucky enough, back to run that event for sure.
Yeah, certainly an incredible time to be involved in soccer specifically out here in the US, and I guess the evolution since then, which I spoke about with Dan Gaiman a few weeks back on how much that's evolved and everything like that. So it sounds like you've obviously played a part in that. And then, from there, joining the Brooklyn Nets, or I guess the Nets, I should say, back then in '99, obviously playing a crucial part of the growth of that team and that business. Talk to us about that journey, because that's, obviously a huge, huge part of your career, right? And
Yeah,
the tenure that you spent there.
that's my mainstay of 18 years. Ironically, the gentleman who recruited me and hired me at the Nets, he tried to get me once before and I rejected the position. And then when this was done, I actually got offered a job at the Boston Red Sox and I was going to go to Boston. And I just had a lot going on. My mom developed breast cancer. Unfortunately, she passed away at a young age. And I kind of said I probably got to stay local. So I ironically went back. I took the Nets job and I told the gentleman who hired me, you probably got me a year and a half to 2 years. He's like, can you rebuild my sales staff? I think we got to do it differently. They're a second team after the Knicks and all that kind of stuff. And fast forward 18 years later, I was sitting in Brooklyn. I was, the COO of the arena and the team. I helped bring the New York Islanders over. I really learned the programming business. From when we were in New Jersey, we just rented the building and, we got to Brooklyn, we owned it. So it was a big, big difference. So you had to worry about every night, not just your nights. But over the course of those 18 years, I went from just running tickets to marketing to the operations, but really was able to dive in with my creative team and the marketing team, where we recreated logos, we recreated a brand. If you look, we were one of the few teams where, we had our city across our chest, both home and away. And it was all about Brooklyn. And I still, a part of me will always be at that franchise, but I always used to joke around, we were one of few teams that had Brooklyn across the chest. And to make the black and white and the new identity get involved with Jay-Z and sit in a room the way his mind goes and do a court and just all that stuff of building a building. They say in the industry, you want to win a ring. If you're working for a team, you want to advance your career and you want to open up a building. And, the Nets gave me two out of three. And I always say I only have one ring that I wear. And depending if you're talking to my wife, if the ring stays on, even some of that time. And I use that joke very badly often. But, there's only one winner at the end of every year from a championship. So we didn't get that. But what we built in Brooklyn was pretty special. And we've since handed the baton off to different people in the industry, but obviously being able to do that for a kid from New Jersey and do that in Brooklyn. And I remember the team got sold and I got a call. I was only in Brooklyn once in my entire life. The next morning I got in my car and I drove there and I just drove around like we were going there tomorrow. And it took us 12 years to get there. But the journey of it, the people who I was involved with, who I'm still close with many of them today, is what it's all about. And it's always about the people you take the journey with.
100%. And I was at the Nets game a few weeks ago against the Kings, and you can still feel, it's one of the, in my opinion, one of the stadiums that you go to, and you really do feel a culture there. You speak about that black and white, that theme, that you can almost kind of feel the kind of history of the club there. So great to say that you played obviously a huge part there. Nets to Jets, that shift must have been pretty, I guess, fun, but also I guess a challenge in some regards as well, right? Going from one huge name in basketball to a huge name in football. Talk to us about that kind of shift, and I guess what worked well for you, and maybe some of the challenges that you had there as well.
Yeah, the NFL is just next level. I always talk about it. People, the structure of what you do inside a franchise every day is the basic stuff is the same, but the revenues, you're putting, people talk about, oh, there's only 10 games with the preseason. I always say they're 10 events. They're not games because, I remember the first time I drove up for my first game and I showed up at 8:30 and I was all excited and ready to go and felt like, and I showed up at 8:30 and I felt like I was late with the fans and the tailgating. I've always been a big fan. I grew up a passionate fan of the club. So it meant a lot to me to have the ability to go work for an organization that I followed and grew up with. Unfortunately, another challenger brand now in the marketplace, you had the Jets and Giants and the Knicks and Nets. And I always say maybe I was just born to push it, but I have thick skin and I've been through it all. But I really, at this point, I had the NBA. I helped move the Islanders over to Brooklyn, so spent a lot of time in the NHL. And now for me to be able to get some time in the NFL was important to me. I'm man enough to tell you I can never work the Major League Baseball schedule, so God bless those who do. But it was a good time in my life where I felt like I said, it was time to hand the baton over. I was at the Nets for 18 years. There's always more to do, but yet at the same time, I thought I've done a lot here and it's time to see what's next. It gave me an opportunity to get back here and be in Jersey instead of going back and forth to Brooklyn the way I was. So Neil Glatt, who I knew for a while, you know, called me a couple times and said, hey, I may have an opportunity here. And him and I have talked a lot over the years, and the timing was good. The people are good. You know, the people at One Jets Drive, they're really some great, amazing people there. So I've been very, very fortunate in my career with all my stops to work with amazing people. So, you know, they were just about ready to do a rebrand as well with the uniforms and some of the identity. Now, the Nets, it was all about a brand new identity. So you kind of almost scrapped the history and you started brand new. If you asked, you know, my son's 15 years old now, and obviously he wasn't even born when I started at the Nets, but he doesn't even remember him being in Jersey and I worked for the team, you know? So they always say there could be a marketing book written about, you know, changing that identity. But for the Jets, it was a lot different because you still had to pay, you know, even though they've only had the one elusive Super Bowl, like you still had to pay homage to the history of the club. So it was very different, and you had to be very respectful for it. And, you know, we did a good job of it. You know, it's not something that happens all the time. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, when the athletes who are wearing it like it and they ask for black versus green versus white, like then, you know, you did your job because those are the ones who bring your brand to life every Sunday when they step out on that field.
Good stuff. And Fred, I've got to be honest with you, man. Since I've made the move to New York and I guess subsequently building out my own network here, your name has come up more times than I think most out of everyone that I've been meeting with and speaking with. You know, one of the kind of go-to marketing and sales execs in the industry. Can you just talk to us, and I guess anyone who's listening to this who's, you know, wanting to build their own kind of personal brand, I guess, whether it's something that you've done, you know, intentionally, or whether it's something that you've kind of been conscious of throughout your career, you know, how have you actually been able to build not just successful brands for the teams that you've worked for, but also your own personal brand throughout your career as well?
Well, look, it's funny. I have so many people say that. How do you keep in touch with all these people? And how do you just grab coffee or reset, you know? And I just say, look, I'm just old. I've been around. It's a young person industry. You know, I've spent a lot of time, probably the last 5 years, doing more. I see all these, you know, it's funny when you're in this industry, especially the chair you sit in, you know, you have so many people coming at you to help get people they know. And it's usually like your neighbor's cousin's friend who says, can you get me? Now it's literally my friend's kid saying, how did I get in? And you're so I've really tried to do a lot more with the youth and just give them some guidance because it's hard. You know, I didn't have anyone to help me, but I wish I did. I wish I had a leg up. But just to give, because now the opportunities are much more between league offices and agencies and what's going on in gaming and esport. But, you know, I'm not a big social media guy, but I tell people all the time, what goes on with LinkedIn, I just think it's phenomenal when people use it the right way from a business perspective. I have people hit me up all the time, Freddie, can you help me with this? And I literally say to them, it's like a little homework assignment, go through my LinkedIn. And if there's someone on there you want it, just let, I'm not going to tell you everyone, but look, whether it's people like yourself, I talked about, you know, Neil Glatt as one of the examples. Like I knew him for many, many years. I actually almost went and worked for him once when he was at the league office in the NFL. Always kept a relationship on, always invited him out to a net game. Just always keeping your ties because it's the typical, you never know. Yeah. And I'm not saying that got me a job at the Jets, but you know what? He thought about calling me for it. And I just think it's very, and especially now in today's age, I just have so many people who've worked for me who call me and be like, you know, Freddie, I'm here right now. I don't know if I want to stay. And I just want to help people. And, you know, people who've worked for me over the years and have given me their blood, sweat, and tears and time away from their family, whether they worked for me for 2 years or they worked for me for 15, I just feel, you know, I always say, unfortunately, you've been part of the Man Jones tree and I want you to be proud of it and do it. And it's when you get those random calls from people, I've been named 40 under 40 and I've done this and I've done that. And, you know, look, I've just been very proud about some people who've gone on and done some amazing, amazing things in this industry. And they put your name in a publishing piece or they thank you, you know, on a podcast and it goes a long, long way. And there's some really talented people who've gone on to be presidents and CROs and that. And I'm just happy for all of them. But at the same point, you know, it's probably like the interns who were under me who walk in my office and say, I never thought in my life I'd be able to sit in a meeting or walk into a C-suite executive and say, but you made me feel good. You mean, and I have many today who move on to jobs and are like, I still tell people how I was allowed in your direct report meetings because you said I should learn and feel a part of it. And that's all it is. And as I always tell people, we're all doing the same jobs. We're just sitting in different offices when we are in the office. So we're all in it together.
Great stuff, man. Look, lots of insight there. I'm sure a lot of people listening in would, you know, certainly take a lot of what you just said there on board. And yeah, if there's anyone, you know, in my network who's listening to this and, you know, wants to tap into Fred, his very extensive network in the slightest, or, you know, just wants to pick his brain anything, I'm sure he wouldn't mind, you know, a conversation. And it sounds like he's the type of guy that's happy to help. So, Fred, thanks a lot for that. Moving on to the final part of the chat today, the hot seat, my personal favorite, quick fire round of would you rather. We're going to dive straight into things. So kicking off with football or basketball?
That's a good one. Probably basketball by a smidge, and it's only because my son plays it year-round and I'm in a gym every other night, AU, this, that. So probably basketball just because I'm always around it no matter what sport I'm working on.
Nice. Whiskey or wine?
Definitely wine. You know, I feel as I get older, my friends and everything, they, as they say, they drink a lot more brown, and I can have a little bit of it, but my heart can't take a lot of it. But I'm more of a wine over whiskey for sure.
Okay. Pizza or pasta?
Well, it's tough being Italian, having an Italian wife who, you know, we're old school. It's Sunday pasta every Sunday, no matter what's going on. So, but definitely pizza from my end because it always hits home. I just hopefully my wife doesn't watch this.
Full South Barnes or anyone else?
Oh, of course, you guys. You know, it's been great to get to know you over the years and catching up. And like I said, I give so much respect for what you guys do in the industry yourself. And you know, I have a lot of obviously contacts throughout the industry and people who on the team side who've kind of gotten in your chairs and have gotten involved in recruitment. And it's just a key factor. And you asked before about making connections and knowing that. And it's not, you know, I probably know 80, 90% of the recruiters in the country. And, you know, only a couple of them have ever placed me. But every time there's a Super Bowl, an All-Star game, anything I went to, I probably get a call from one saying, can we catch up? Because there's probably not a month that goes by where someone doesn't call me. I always joke around. It's more, can I help them give them a name for someone for a job? But when I get a call from someone like so-and-so called me and they said, yeah, I can't thank you enough. Like, again, it's just a way of helping and giving back and helping someone like you who trusts me enough to call me to say, Fred, I believe in you and your network. Is there anyone you would really put up for this job? And, you know, that means a lot to me too, that I've had your industry reach out and trust me enough to do so.
Really appreciate that, Fred. Kind words. And look, thanks for joining the session overall as well.